Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, even supplementation. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Paula's my wife, watch a lot of cooking shows, probably too many if the truth be told. Most are competitions, and the styles of cooking vary from diner food to baking to high-end restaurants. The one thing that makes it interesting is that you see a lot of foods and cooking techniques from other continents and cultures. In this podcast, I'm going to challenge you to try different spices, different vegetables and fruits, and different cooking and baking techniques. Now, before we get into the meat of things, so to speak, while I want to challenge you to try new foods and food preps, make sure you taste everything and try every food, spice, and prep before you present it in a holiday meal. Why? People associate the holidays with specific foods that they only get that one time a year. It's not as though you couldn't eat sweet potatoes smothered in brown sugar and cinnamon with marshmallows any day of the year, but that's what many people expect. What might be fun is to make two dishes to give people a comparison: regular sweet orange sweet potatoes and ube or Hawaiian purple potatoes. You can even prepare them the exact same way. If you don't know, ube is the potato that is generally sourced from Southeast Asia and is a staple in blue zones where many people live to 100. Well, let's begin with some things that I've tried at home, and I'll start with something that has gotten a really bad rap, based on no real science, that can add that real umami taste to foods, especially soups and sauces, and that would be none other than monosodium glutamate, or MSG for short. I know the initial reaction you may have, because I had it too. Migraines, or at least headaches, destroys your brain. I've heard everything you've heard. And then I checked out the research. The original research was from a physician who got symptoms such as a racing heartbeat and weakness anytime he ate at Chinese restaurants that served northern Chinese cuisine. He published his observation in a letter to the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine way back in 1968, and that was it. The race was on to find a reason to condemn MSG, on and on and on. Long story short, there's no science to prove that's the case. Yeah, it may not agree with some people, but it isn't the MSG. It's likely an inability to process it, and that can happen with any flavor enhancer. I also mentioned that word umami. Now, the definition of umami, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is a category of taste in food besides sweet, sour, salt, and bitter, corresponding to the flavor of glutamates, especially monosodium glutamate. I checked out whether brining meat in salt solutions would interact with meat to actually make MSG. It would not, but meat naturally has glutamates anyway, which contributes to that umami flavor. One more thing. Using MSG reduces the total sodium intake by anywhere from 40 to 60%, depending on the amount you use. Sodium is a problem related to hypertension, so reducing sodium while enhancing flavors is a good thing. I use MSG in soup, sauces, and even when braising meat. Why add salt when you don't have to, and it does release great flavor if you like the umami flavor? The latest spice blend that we've discovered is, of all things, fish sauce. Now, it seems like you would only use that in cooking seafood, but it gives a great umami flavor to every sauce, including gravy, casseroles, and soups. I even add it to marinara sauce, believe it or not. The only caution would be that fish sauce is shrimp or other seafood marinated in salt for up to 2 years. So if someone is allergic to seafood, do not use it. Also, be cautious. Try a little first because you can add more, but you can't take it out. I found that out the hard way. A couple of splashes are usually that's all that's needed. The next spice blend I'm going to try is Five Spice. Longtime reader added it to the spice rub for ribs they make and just loved the flavor. I don't fix ribs that often, but I'm definitely going to try that, although there is an argument to be made. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But variety is the spice of life. Let's turn to vegetables. In this case, a starchy vegetable, and that would be what I mentioned earlier, ube or purple yams. Remember, it's one of the foods that is a staple of the Blue Zone areas in Southeast Asia, where people live longer with many centenarians amongst them. Ube and Hawaiian purple yams are easier to find than they used to be, and you can use it like regular sweet potatoes. We have an advantage in that we live about a half mile from a great grocery store that is next to an Asian food market. There is really no spice or food we cannot get, but due to the distance that fresh food has to travel, it may not have the same flavor as those found in the country of origin. Another plant food is actually a fungi. Button mushrooms are great, but next on my list is maitake mushrooms. They are not inexpensive, but it would be great to check out the flavor profile. And after that, it's lion's mane mushroom, which has gotten to be very popular when added to coffee. I'm not going there, as I don't like any games with my coffee, but to eat, I'm in. There are purported health benefits as well, even if it's cooked. How about some new fruit? I still like the staples, apples, empires if I can get them, blueberries, grapes, peaches, strawberries, oranges, and pears. But watching the way fruit is used in cooking on some shows and with close access to exotic fruits, Paul and I chose to try a couple of fruits. We started with prickly pear. Look, I just don't have the patience to work for that actual flavor because it is full of seeds. On top of that, the flavor is subtle. So while it's full of nutrients, it doesn't have intense flavor or texture. Again, that could be because of the distance travel from country of origin. We've also tried dragon fruit. It looks gorgeous, but not quite as flavorful as I would like. But no worries, there are dozens more to try, and I'm looking forward to it. One technique I learned is spatchcocking poultry. Now, if that sounds a little funny, let me explain the reason first. When you cook a bird whole, you have that big cavity where not much happens other than to occupy space. I know some people like to fill it with stuffing, but I never do that. I saw how to spatchcock a chicken in a show we watched, and I had to try it. So what are we doing? Well, spatchcocking a chicken or a turkey is also called butterflying the bird. The technique only requires a very sharp pair of food shears. The technique is just flipping the breast side down and cutting through the rib bones to remove the neck and the back. You can also remove the wishbone if you choose, but I just press the bird flat. If you press hard enough, it breaks the breastbone and the bird lies flat. It's easier to get seasoning on the bird meat under the skin. I've used a couple of rubs, such as fresh oregano and butter and basil pesto. Both were great. Spatchcocking also reduces the cooking time. A chicken can be done in 40 minutes instead of an hour. I never eat it, but the skin will be extraordinarily crisp. I can tell you it will have the moistest breast meat you've ever eaten. Just be sure to check the temperature in the breast to make sure it reaches 160, and it should be about 165 by the time you let it rest a little. Delicious. Looking forward to doing turkey that way this holiday season. I couldn't talk about poultry without mentioning brining the bird overnight. You can find every flavor profile you can imagine if you do a quick search online. The last one I did was apple cider and salt, mostly because that's all I had. The sodium really helps break up the meat protein, and it gets tender and doesn't dry out. I recommend brining every bird if you have the time. I felt like I was just getting started, so I'll do another look at food flexibility sometime in the future. Unless imported vegetables and fruits get too high in price because of tariffs, incorporating new foods just may be the thing to spice up your holidays while still respecting tradition. And that's it for this episode. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.